Welcome back. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. As ever, if you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. The show is coming to you from Boston. I am standing right next to Boston Common at this moment in time, looking out at beautiful blue skies. I can see the Prudential Building beyond, way, way beyond. I can see the top of Fenway Park. This is one of the most exciting cities in the US, in my opinion. I absolutely love it here. But I'm going to bring you back to Austin, where I started my week, because we are here with Ireland Gateway Europe, and I have met some incredible entrepreneurial brains, some techie brains, some business brains, and everything in between. But one of my favorite conversations from the last few days was with Marcus Cervantes, who is the founder of QBranch. He is a fascinating person who is enabling and celebrating and encouraging startups in the heart of Austin, Texas.
So I'm a first generation American, a second generation veteran, and a third generation entrepreneur. Very succinctly, just to kind of pack that all in, my father was in the military, and he was kind of an innovator within the Department of Defense, and I followed along in that footsteps. But we've always, even, you know, three generations, have had this entrepreneurial DNA, and so we look at things a lot differently. And I think that success also of being a first generation American has given me this global perspective. Not only have I lived in multiple states across the United States, but I've lived abroad as well. And I've traveled abroad, working both in the defense sector primarily, but also just being, you know, in multiple countries and understanding the cultures, and that those cultures were informed by years and years and years. So taking all of those dynamics and bringing them in today is very fascinating, and most importantly, it's fun.
Mm. And the experience that you have in the defense sector, I'm sure informed much of your vantage point as an entrepreneur. You must have seen things and thought, there has to be a better way, there has to be an innovative way to do this. Can you perhaps give me some examples of that and how you came to form the QBranch?
Well, so one is I learned kind of these Jedi arts of how to manage money and take on the responsibilities of delivering a capability, essentially a need to your end customer, and that end customer is defending this prosperous way that we, most of the world, lives under, right? And so when I tell folks here in Texas, what did I do in the military? It comes in a variety of things. One, I tell them I was actually a government venture capitalist, right? For the largest investment firm in the world, and that is the US federal government. That carries a lot of responsibility, and I had to make sure that what we embarked upon, what I actually invested in, yielded some level of growth, knowledge, capability, in a variety of factors. And then the other was actually managing those innovative efforts, right? So the execution of that is not as easily said. It's very difficult because you have to do it over a specified time horizon, and much like what we were discussing a little earlier, is our pacing item is the rate of technology, and that moves at light years, right? I mean, you could just be working on something, and the next thing you know, there's a brand new version that you had factored somehow in your increment 10. Now it is right in front of you, and you need to somehow incorporate that. So it's a highly complex environment that I took a lot of that knowledge in my past life. And when I retired here in Austin, I found that really what was missing in this entrepreneurial ecosystem was this ability to operate, this ability to execute. And so, you know, being a little bit older in this ecosystem, I was really being approached by a lot of international entrepreneurs, because most of the time, you know, somebody, you know, through a second meeting mentioned they're coming from out of town, and just the ecosystem knows that Mark's has traveled, Mark's been around the world, they likely should go talk to Mark. Because what I also did in the military was looked for the latest innovative things. And that just didn't come from the United States. I traveled abroad. I went to look for the most disruptive innovations out there. And when we talk about the Department of Defense, you know, it's really the federal environment that we really were trying to make an innovative evolution occur. It was nothing really kinetic. It was everything beyond kinetic, right? So those same practices I found were still very relevant in today, you know, where I am at today. And it doesn't matter if it's a dating app. It doesn't matter if it's a new pen that, you know, writes upside down in that way. Those same practices of bringing that item to scalability and investability are still very needed in this ecosystem, and that comes down to sheer execution.
I'm sure in your time as part of the military, you saw massive technological innovation. How quickly are new innovations embraced in that sort of environment? And how strenuous is the stress testing and the training for those who then be operating it?
So you've seen the movie The Matrix, right? And when Neo has this epiphany that he sees in code, right? You see the ones and zeros and everything is in green. Well, I look at the same way, but by risk, because I've been trained that way, right? So everything that I look at, whether it's new, innovative, I evaluate the risk of, number one, incorporating it, and number two, not incorporating it. And so we put it in environments where it's going to be able to flourish and be analyzed and studied. So if I found something that was to be very disruptive and I could look at the other end to the customer and there was an absolute need and they were willing to accept the risk of that item not being validated, testing, you know, looking at the reliability, availability, and maintainability of that item, then sure, that's a decision that we can all collectively make. Now, on the other end, if we see that no, it needs to go into a cycle, that we need to make sure that this is going to be something enduring, it's going to go into the ecosystem, then we just categorize that effort and manage that effectively to achieve its end state. So we look at things in a variety of ways. It all comes down to risk of need.
And obviously technology can be a huge asset, like things like drones, for example, and I don't necessarily mean fighter drones, but drones that can assess the situation before individuals need to go in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not everything is a weapon. You know, it can be something in your arsenal, but it's not necessarily a weapon. Does that thought process come into that sort of seesaw and weighing up that you mentioned?
Yeah, so I guess let me take a step back. And one, I mentioned, you know, I'm this chief executive officer of this organization called QBranch. So QBranch is a nonprofit that focuses 80% on commercial items and maybe 20% opportunity to enter into this federal ecosystem, right, in the United States. And when I say the federal ecosystem, it's comprised of multiple departments. There's Department of Defense, there's Department of Education, there's Department of Transportation. So we look at those being two different pathways for business opportunity, because remember, this is business, right? That the lifeblood of business is money, and so we definitely target that. And what we focus on are the 16 verticals of critical infrastructure, right? And there's a variety of things, and I'll just touch on a couple of national security, mobility, communication, health, food. And so you see this cross-section of innovation and where it could be applied to. And the pathways that we take those innovators down. Commercial primarily, and we start getting them ready for federal opportunities. And so, you know, the practices that we bring forward are the strategy implementation, right? We focus on really two things at QBranch: strategy, and we're the advocate for the innovation. Not necessarily the team. The team surrounds the innovation. And so when we talk about bringing in international capability into the United States, sometimes the team won't come, right? And sometimes they do come, but they're kind of captured in their culture or wherever they were at, so much that it becomes a little bit of a hindrance operating in a new environment. So when we say we look at fundamentals, we look at the innovation itself, and we're the advocate for that. And so through these strategies that we develop, we take into account the team that's going to take this forward into the United States. Now, there's a lot of terminology out there, go-to-market strategies, there's capture strategies, but we look at things in a very comprehensive way. You know, when we talk about the innovators coming in, they're on a mission. And so we want to be able to complement them on their mission with resources, with housing, with facilities, everything beyond just selling. And we want them to be so ultra focused on their mission here that we'll go above and beyond to make sure that, you know, maybe their families need to find a good school system or they need to find a good environment. So very similar to the practices that I was involved in the military. You know, they have these family readiness groups. We kind of apply that to innovators coming into Texas. And I really haven't spoken about Texas. But I'll tell you right now, Texas is the pretty girl in the room, right? When it comes to the United States, from a variety of reasons. One, it's big, so there's plenty of room. Two, it's very business friendly. Three, there's a great talent pipeline that is here, right? And four and five and six, and there's so many other reasons that we can kind of expand upon, but what I have found in really doing this for the course of 3 years is that I haven't had to send anybody outside of the state just for the landing. Now, the other great thing about QBranch is that by being the advocate of the innovator, we'll find the most optimal location for you to land here. There's maybe been one or two scenarios where I've told the innovators, you know what, New York is probably the best place for you. Or maybe you should go start in California, right? But, you know, it's only been rare in that sense. Or there was actually one time where there was innovators coming from one country and they were trying to implement a technology that really was different in how we did standard rules here and laws in the United States, had to be in the banking industry, that I sent them to a country that was going to allow them to really apply the same rules from which they came and really just expand their marketplace. So we really, again, to those strategies, to making sure we're the advocate or the innovator, we look at a variety of things. Now, because of my background, because of the operational mindset that we have these methodologies that we use that are quite frankly proven, and still to this day we're finding that the innovators themselves are now adopting these practices and give them more insight into shaping the future, not letting the future kind of control them.
It sounds like you're very much building an ecosystem. It's not just about this one organization being associated with success stories. You want it ingrained in Austin and therefore Texas by establishing these protocols from the very outset and establishing people and their families and so on. Is that something that you're conscious of? Like, are you seeing the fruits of that already a few years in?
I am, right? I think when you were coming up on the elevator, it's relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm a very personable kind of guy. I find that if you establish trust and have a good relationship, that will yield things beyond what you can kind of conceptualize. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about a global ecosystem. And so as people come in from a global setting, I want them to feel like they're welcome to into my home. And really, it's to the state. That's kind of how I view things, is that the last thing I want is for somebody to come to Texas and just maybe not make that connection, and somehow they come into this environment not prepared, and they encounter so many obstacles that they're really kind of unknown to them, and so they don't have a good outcome, and so they reassess and they go home. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good scenario. It's not a good scenario for me. I don't like that feeling, going home and saying Texas wasn't the best place for me. you know, I might have seen all these signals, whether it be on LinkedIn or, hey, this is such a fruitful environment. I went and I tried it and it didn't work. I'm trying to prevent that, right? And so that's why early and often we say measure twice, cut once. So before you arrive into Texas or even coming into the United States, we'd love to have a talk with you just to kind of get what it is that you're looking for. Because when you land, the clock has started. Money is burning, right? And so part of why we say this, we focus on the state itself, is Austin, it's kind of growing to be an expensive place. And we can talk about where that growth is and the patterns of that. But and you landing in Austin because somehow you saw a lot of success in Austin, that may not be the most optimal place for you. Maybe it's actually San Antonio, or maybe it's Houston or Dallas, or maybe just on the outskirts of one of those great regional partners is the most optimal place for you. For you personally, for your business, by way of incentives, talent. So what we really like to do is lean in on the plan, make sure that, yes, I invite everybody to come visit Austin, it's great, but this may not be the place for you permanently or your business permanently. We want to find that best place for you.
You mentioned California and New York in the course of our conversation so far, and everybody, like if you mention tech, people just think Silicon Valley, right? It's the place. But obviously it's gone through a very turbulent time. We've seen job cuts in companies that we didn't think that was possible. We know that the cost of living has gone through the roof. A whole host of changes, not necessarily for the good, have happened there. Is Austin the next tech city? Like, are we in a bubble at the moment? Are we seeing a tech bubble emerge here? And my second part of that question is, why would someone choose here over Silicon Valley or perhaps New York?
Well, one, I don't think it's a bubble. It's not going to pop, right? You do see a growth happening, but it's not, you know, there's not going to be a bad outcome, right? Now, what's great about Silicon Valley or even the Cambridge area, the MIT, right? You know, I'm a student of history, and there was a great book written, I forget her last name, but it's Margaret's her first name, and it's called The Code. And it goes all the way back to the need of the federal government and these technological needs. And so those technological needs were then going to be supported in these great university environments, and they needed some level of additional funding in order to grow that. Well, those innovations that happened and started to pop up brought in the investment community, and now those two locations are permanent in what they've done and what they continue to accomplish. You're seeing that those same patterns kind of happen here in Austin and mostly at the state level. And so I don't think that that's gonna pop. Now, with all of that comes, like you said, the economic growth, the people that come in, and then you're starting to see things maybe getting a little bit more expensive. But I don't think that, you know, in the current state of what, you know, let's just use California right now, there was kind of a mass exodus during COVID. I don't think it's going to get as turbulent as that state has become right now. And again, that's just a phase that I know they're going to grow out of. I don't think that you're going to see that happen here in Texas because of the policies that are really kind of enacted here and that are kind of in the roots of the people that are from Texas.
Okay. And the political environment across the U.S., obviously over the last few years, that has been turbulent. Do you see that as a factor in where people opt to do business or base themselves? Or is that something that maybe just seems like it could be a factor from me living in Dublin?
I don't live in Dublin, so I don't know the vantage points that you're looking at. But are those factors? I think they are, right? They're factors to individuals, and they're factors I'm starting to see now more prominently accepted and vocalized at the business level. And so everybody that's a business leader is in fact a leader, and so they have to factor in a variety of things and make sound decisions. I don't think that it's a preventative thing. I think it's just more of where's the most optimal location for your business to thrive. Understanding the variety of needs that your business will need to focus on as it is growing. So I think that's more in line with where the focus should be, and then secondary, all those other extenuating kind of circumstances.
The innovation that goes on by the people who come through your front doors must be incredible. Can you talk us through some of the things that you're most proud of or excited by? Because as you said, you've had a long career in different sectors. So what are the standout ones that pop into your brain straight away?
Yeah, now
your face just lit up.
Yeah, now we're getting into the fun stuff here. I really do enjoy it. So QBranch, our customers are countries. So we focus on establishing relationships with the Ministry of Trade and Economy. Why? Because they're a little bit more resourced, right? And then once you establish the relationships with the country, then the corporates start to come in. And the corporates really have levels some innovation, but they have more needs, right? The competitive environment is higher stakes. And so they need to look at finding and keeping up with, again, the rate of technology. And then third to that are those innovators with those problems that come in. And so what I've seen is really the needs of the country. And what I'm most proud of is the relationship that we have with the Ministry of Trade and Economy of Japan. So we did this 8-week accelerator for them as they wanted to explore the United States. So they had them in 3 locations, 2 in California and then 1 in Texas, and it happens to be they partner with QBranch because of our methodologies to operate. But in that, we had a silkworm protein bar, which was fascinating. We had an early detection mechanism to prevent falls of the elderly, it wasn't reactionary, it's more preventative in the methodologies that they were using. There's a great Bluetooth technology that is highly secured. It kind of negates any two-factor authentication. There was a nanotechnology insulation. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And each one of these technologies have grown out of a country of Japan, and they are in such need here in the United States. And so that's, again, the technologies are so, there was a Bionic M, which is a prosthetic for your lower extremities. And it isn't just a prosthetic that just attaches to your leg. No, it's a mechanical one that helps the muscular movements, right? It helps, on the other leg, it matches and mirrors the same kind of muscular movements. And so it looks very natural. So I just went through a spectrum, right? Silkworms to muscles, right, in that way. And, we have Spaniards that we've worked very closely with. We're now starting to expand the Korean community that is following the Samsung plant that just arrived here in Taylor, Texas. So we're starting to see a variety, but even more. I mean, there's more endless technologies that are coming in. And one of the things that we use QBranch for here is we're right in the heart of Austin. And we like this to be a showroom for those innovators. So I have behind you, and I think the coffee that you're drinking right now is from Vendi Bean, which is a vending machine for coffee, but it does it in a barista style, right? Anywhere from a latte to an Americano, you have this ability to get it right away. Also behind you, we have leather chairs from Romania. Right, leather chairs. And so we want this to not only be an environment that people can kind of come and feel safe and warm into, but it's also their showroom. So also against the wall is kind of our mini startup row or scale up row of multiple businesses that are here. So you're constantly needing to show and to sell, and we want to help you succeed or get some level of exposure as you land here. Here's one other data point in how we're utilizing QBranch is that any trade organizations that come and want to just visit or maintain a small occupancy here, you could go to WeWork and other co-working locations, but if you're here temporarily, come work from here. We want you to have a neutral environment that kind of level sets the business that you will need to do while you're here. It's one thing to go to somebody else's office, but it's also a different indicator to say, why don't you come visit me in my location here in my new office at Q Branch, right? So it kind of levels the playing field. It invites them in. It gets them out of their office where they're more inclined to probably say no or be risk adverse. But here you can kind of have more exploratory conversations on the opportunities for expansion in the United States.
Yeah, and it's a lovely building as well. And the innovations that you mentioned there, my brain is just ticking over them all, because one of the biggest issues that we know, not only back home in Ireland, but here in the United States, is pressure on the healthcare service. And there's this mantra in our health service at home of, you know, keeping well people well for longer and preventative measures. When you see those types of technologies coming down the pipeline, whether it's on a post-it note or it's, you know, midway through its development, can you instantly see the pitch to go into the Department of Health and to make it happen?
Absolutely. That's one of the insights that the team really has. And I probably should have led with my team, because they're the most important part of what we are here at Q Branch, and that's the experience that we bring in. So in most startup ecosystems, you find, at some degree, the excitement and energy there, but I wouldn't say a lot of the experience is there. You know, if it is, it's through mentorships, right? Which makes it kind of a little bit fractional. Well, what we've done here at Q Branch is we brought in the experience, and that's core to what we're going to be doing. I, myself, 23 years in a professional environment. My brother, who's my chief operation officer, spent 23 years in civil development. We have a lead economic developer who's been in that environment for 17 years. I have our chief development officer, who was a president of PepsiCo and Kimberly-Clark in Dubai and Saudi. I mean, so he's been at the leadership level. I've got another communicator who was at the tech desk at CNN for 16 years. And so that experience is here, and there's the diversity of understanding. And we've got medical experts here. Omar, who's done a lot of work in that environment for a variety of years. So when we see opportunity, we see, yes, there is a need for it. Mm-hmm. But more with the experience that comes in is we can kind of synthesize the time expectancy. Right, and that comes with the regulatory, the compliance aspects, much like what we were talking about earlier within the Department of Defense. It's no different when you talk about the health environments, right? You can't just immediately start to apply certain pills or preventative type things. It's got to go through a regulatory process. And so that's immediate. We can see, yes, there's an opportunity. Second to that is we can kind of see a time horizon, or at least those obstacles that we need to kind of face as we're going forward. But part of that experience can also see, how can we round out the equation? How can I really get a good algorithm, an X plus Y equals Z? How can I get that product to meet a customer and then create an opportunity? And once we do that, then I will bring in the investment community, right? That was part of one of my charges was when I started Q Branch was, how can I raise the opportunity for capital for these international entrepreneurs that come in? And that's really the support that Q Branch provides, right? You know, there's just human dynamics of, hey, you have a little bit of a funny accent, you're from a country I've never been to, me giving you investment, I don't know. And so we're here to offset that risk. Mm-hmm. We're here to say, no, we're in support of that entrepreneur. We have evaluated it. We will show you not only their pitch deck, here are their financial forecasts, but the third leg to the stool that's foundational is how they are going to execute. That's really that strategy that we create. And so number one, our focus is getting people customers. That's number one. We're a pilot program. Then once we see that the light at that end of the tunnel, we'll start to really attract those investors. And so because of that methodology, investors are already attracted to what we're doing. So they're there in the queue and they're waiting. And really it's been those investors that have never even considered investing in a foreign company. Most of the time, to offset their risk, it's a flip. They say, okay, well, in order for us to give you money, you need to have a Delaware C Corp. You need to take all your intellectual property and put it there, and then we'll make the investment. But that's not maybe what the entrepreneur wants to do, right? So there's a higher degree of thought. There needs to be a good understanding and a balance. So it's not that it's a binary yes or no. If you don't do this, we're not going to invest. It's no, there needs to be some understanding of the risk and what risk mitigation factors have been put in, and then who's going to support those mitigating factors. And that's really kind of what QBranch is here to do.
Yeah, that is Marcos Cervantes speaking to me in Austin, Texas, a little bit earlier this week. He is just a fascinating man. If you want to hear more, there's a full interview with Marcos that you can listen back to on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for Tech Talk. That's it from me this week, unfortunately. We have so much more to bring you from Ireland Gateway to Europe, and we will do so on next week's show. If you missed any of the show and you want to listen back, as I said, you'll find everything on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. I'll be back with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast, but in the meantime, have a great weekend.